So we pray, Heavenly Father, we know that psychologically it's very, very true that people do not break old habits. They build new habits over the old until the old exercises are gone and they are familiar with and actually know no other than the new exercises. And we know, Lord, that's the same with our absolute repentance, change of mind in this hour. It's not a matter of simply on our own putting out of our minds those thoughts and doctrines and things that were creeds and dogmas, but Lord, is putting the true word of God in there, and until there's no room or thought or time expended upon the old, for it no longer exists. And even as Paul said, is counted simply as dung, simple waste matter. It served its purpose perhaps in that hour, but it's entirely gone. And Lord, I pray this morning you'll help us to absolutely renew our minds and thereby fill our souls with the living word, that that life might come forth and this due season, which due season we know to be this hour, going to bring forth a resurrection. We'll give the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number 9. Sorry we missed last Wednesday, but could hardly help that with the weather. But number 9 in the restoration of the bride tree. Now this message, which Brother Branham has entitled The Restoration of the Bride Tree, is no different from all his other messages wherein he scripturally teaches the fall and restoration of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just so happens that Joel 2:25, instead of using the word church, or Israel, whatever you want to use in there, uses the illustration of a plant, the plant of God, being devoured to the roots by a voracious insect. Which plant survives the onslaught and rises again under the direct intervention of God and finally brings forth exactly what the life in the root demanded. The original life. Original planting. We particularly note that Brother Branham calls this tree the bride tree. Now, if there's a bride tree, there has to be a bridegroom tree. For if there is no groom, there is no bride, vice versa. Thus, Brother Branham is speaking of the espoused bride, even as Paul did in 2 Corinthians 11, in Acts 20, and 2 Timothy 3, in the relationship to the growth of this and fall of this particular bride, which is he calls the bride tree. Now, let us further note that the word church is ecclesia, which means called out. These are the elect of God. The root word is the same. So therefore, when the Bible speaks of the church or the members thereof of the church, it is the same thing. There's no difference in the appellation. You merely have a multiplicity of each one that is called in. Thus the members and the entire church is elect or called out. Now the first mention of this, and you're sure you know where it is in Matthew 16. And Jesus is speaking there with his disciples concerning who he is, and it tells us in verse 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my called out people, body, church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, you'll notice that he's saying, my calling and my choosing is built upon this revelation, or the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Then the next in line, logically, but not in order of numbers, is over in the book of Acts, the second chapter, and in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto his called out ones daily such as should be saved. Or you could read that, and the Lord added to the called out ones already manifested, those that he already had in line by foreordination to call out. And you notice that the calling out is to those that should be saved, and the saved, truly saved, really born again, are those that are called out. And Acts 2 and 47 is further clarified in the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one called out group, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, of course, the word above that is, for as a body is one and many members, and all members that body being one, as one body, so also is Christ. Now, with that, we can see a little further what we're talking about in Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, and it put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is his body, and the body's made up of members, and the church is called out, and every member is called out. So what we're looking at here then is the called out. Now, a perfect Old Testament scripture for that is in the book of Psalms, and we've used it different times, 65, and in verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. He should be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy temple. So this is a picture of the church in the Old Testament that gives you the perfect meaning, the perfect way that God is dealing. So he's blessed is the man, happy is the man, prosperous is the man, chosen by God. And that one chosen by God, God causes him, see, to approach unto him, to approach, to come near, to become a part. Actually, it's restoration, back where he should be. Dwell in thy courts, and he should be satisfied with the goodness that falls upon the body of Christ, the holy temple, because the church is the temple, is the body made up of all these members called out. So, all right, Christ Jesus called out his own initial church of a few members from Israel, the organized and creedal church of that hour. So let's find out if we're on track. We go to John 10, 1 to 3. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. In other words, you introduce yourself or induct yourself somewhere where you're not entitled to be. Now that tells you something. It sets the picture for Paul and Jude, letting you know categorically there's going to be a bunch of people doing this. They're going to be there. The last hour they'll be sitting with us without a garment for the wedding supper. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hears his voice. Notice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leads them out. There you have the ecclesia. There you have the calling. So Jesus began to call, according to predestination, a church. And that was the initial calling from Israel that was overflowing with serpent seed. And those that sat down and had literally taken over. Thus we can set forth the principle of doctrine. That is, every member of the body of Christ has to come out of something and go into something. Yeah. He said, well, I was brought up in this message. What did I come out of? Well, you're still coming out of your own thinking. The two somethings, believe it or not, are simply darkness and light. You come out of darkness into light. It is not you changing from a goat to a sheep. A foreknown, or what you might call an ordained reprobate to become a child of God, hasn't got a thing to do with it. It is the child of God, the elect child of God, the foreknown called out one, goes from darkness to light. Very simply put, it's found in 1 Peter 2, 9, and 10. But you are a chosen generation, elect, called out, to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are a people which hath had not obtained mercy, but now are a people of God which had not obtained mercy, but now has obtained mercy. In other words, you're looking at the Gentile church taking over in the mind and eye of God from Israel. There's been a complete displacement. So whatever Israel had, and you can see that in Romans, the 9th chapter, it's all written out there. In fact, let's just go to that so you know what I'm talking about. And you'll see what Israel had back there, which is absolutely most amazing. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I've got great heaviness and continual sore in my heart. For I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, blessed be God. All taken away. All fulfilled, gone. Now you got this group over here. And remember, there's going to be a temple worship in the millennium. So much of these things that we are in dark about now, as the called out ones, from darkness to light, the light increasing and increasing, and remember, it increases after the millennium until there's no sun and moon. You don't need it. You got New Jerusalem, the Lamb on the throne, and the glory just floods the whole world. What are you going to do that kind of a light? You just soak it up. Revelation. So we go from darkness unto light. This is identical to what we read over here in Matthew 16 and in verse 17. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You've been in darkness until now. Now, you try to tell the Laodicean church that, even though God wrote it through John, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, claiming we're increased in goods and riches and we don't lack anything. darkness into light. Before we point out other scripture, let us go back to the Garden of Eden. There Adam and Eve, especially Eve, slipped from the light of truth into the darkness of the lie. We read this dozens of times. But we go back to Romans, where in chapter 1, where it is stated and brought so absolutely perfectly. Beginning at verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth back in unrighteousness. They stay right there in the darkness. And when the light comes, they don't want it. And they absolutely hold it back. Dog in the manger. Aesop's fable. The ox went to the manger to get the hay, and the dog snapped the ox's nose and wouldn't let the ox eat the hay. And the oxen said, I don't understand you. You can't eat hay, and I do, and you're stopping me. Well, that's the church system. That's a fable. That means a story with a moral. And the Bible warns against listening and believing stories with a moral. That's what the church is. It's moralistic. That's what the Pope said he is. He's moral. He ain't even moral. He's amoral. He doesn't have any morals. Because he tries to make a priesthood do what it can't do. When God created women for men, that's exactly what he did, which is a functional order in the process of human propagation. And the Catholic Church says they're going to upset God's laws. They're a bunch of liars and crazy. That's not morality. That's immoral. That's amoral. No morals. I may get slaughtered for that, but that's all right. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. In other words, they can't deny there's a God that needs to be revealed. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. The Bible said every pseudoscientist that comes against creation as though it simply evolved of itself is not only a fool, but they are going to be judged in that day by standing in the way of the light. Thus we can set forth the principle of doctrine from darkness into light. This is exactly 2 Corinthians 11 chapter where Paul speaks of the bride falling into the sin of the befouled mind. Now let us look at this and understand this, because this can be going over your heads. I can repeat this and read it as I come down there with a cold chisel and a sledge, and somehow by the grace of God, open your spiritual skulls, open a hole and take a funnel and pour it in. This could still be going over your heads. Well, I know that, I know that, I know that, but is it real to you? Today there's men and women that know they're married because they got a piece of paper. They're out there whoring around like animals. Now, I speak pretty rough and tough when I'm talking. Are we here as part of a prostitute church, or do we know what we are talking about? Now, let's find out. Paul says, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. He's making a double plea. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds like her mind will entertain that, receive that, and bring forth that which is not of God. Now let's face it. Eve was pristine, pure from the hands of God and a part of Adam, in whom was the very life of God. And she opened her mind. Paul says the church is going to do the same thing. So when Brother Branham preached that the church, the bride, will have a closed mind already made pregnant, the mind pregnant by the word of God so nothing else can come in there, then why are some of you perhaps this morning opening your minds for some truck and something out there that is not given by the prophet? Why do you want it? One word off will destroy you. Especially if it's the right word. Thou shalt not surely die. And that twisted every single thing that God said, because life is in the word. And if that word is not in you according as God gave it, according to the vindicated revelation, and remember, Paul was vindicated. And no William Branham could ever come on the scene and say, I'm preaching the same gospel Paul preached, unless he was vindicated. It doesn't say I'm reading what Paul wrote. And I'm sending out Bibles. It doesn't say that. Preached it. He preached it. He took what Paul said and brought it right down for this 20th century hour. I got marvel. I get books from people they send me. And in there they criticize what I teach on the proof. And you know how they do it? They go to the Bible. They say, Lee Vailor's wrong. It doesn't say that. I don't go to the Bible. I go to William Branham. Then I go to the Bible. Every single thing I preach, I get right from William Branham. Go right to the Bible. Soon I'm going to meet them face to face at the White Throne. You think I'm running scared? No, I'm not running scared. No, I know what I'm talking about. They don't. They haven't got a clue. That's their business, not mine. Thus in Acts 20 and Timothy 3, where there is a mix of elect and pretenders. Now Paul tells in Acts 20 what is going to happen. Now we're going to take a long time this morning. I don't know if I'll even get to the Brother Branham's sermon. But I'm not concerned about that, because I'm very concerned to teach in such a way that if you haven't got it before, by the grace of God, you're going to get it now. That you're in a straitjacket. Your mind is in a straitjacket. And if you don't think you need your mind in a straitjacket, then you go back to Eve and original co-ruler with Adam. Saw how she got food, and then Adam went with him. If you consider this morning and think, oh, I'm very safe. The Bible said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, Paul himself said here, in verse 29, for I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now notice, Paul sets the premise. And he said in verse 26, I want you to bear record. I'm pure from the blood of every single person, because I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore to yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Ghost had made you overseas to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now that church has got to get back to the original, because Paul said it's already fallen through the mind. M-I-N-D, period. The thought processes. For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What are they going to do? Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after. And that's why Brother Bannon, preaching Paul's doctrine, Paul's apostle, Paul's gospel, he said, say what I say and that's all. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every man day and night with tears. Now he called them grievous wolves, wolves in sheep clothing. They will not spare the flock, but they will arise, having been with these people, and when the authoritative person is not there, see? So now they can get away with it. They'll circulate in the congregation and begin to teach their lies. Now remember, you won't fool those originally elect, but they've got kids coming up. And those children can be deceived if they are not true elect. Bride quality material. Now, in 1 Peter, we're going to see these things come together. Exactly what took place and what takes place even today and took place for 7 complete church ages. In 1 Peter 1:1-2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, called out, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, my sheep hear my voice, see, through sanctification of the Spirit, even unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Okay. That's your original. Let's go to Jude. Little book before Revelation. And in Jude 3:4 we read, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly fight for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, it doesn't say you contend for it as though you're going to somehow be able to get it on your own. He said, you already got it. I gave it to you. Now, fight for it. Don't sit around like a bunch of ninnies and let everything go over your head. And challenge these birds. Do you know by keeping your mouth shut, you are in complicity with sin? And the devil and the partaker with him, do you keep your mouth shut? Now listen, for there are men crept in unawares. The word crept means creep. Do you wonder why we use the word today, they're a bunch of creeps? It's not a word today in our vocabulary. You can't find the Bible. It's got a spiritual significance. Even the word rappers. What's a rap? Knock at the door. What do they want to do? Engage you in conversation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I rap. I want to engage you in conversation. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care where you go. Everywhere you go. The chips are down. It's all over. That's why we should be standing at the door before it's even open. Making every minute count with this word. These creeps have come in unaware. The word creep is not only that, but also means to not just insinuate itself in there, but to cling around. You ever notice how this poison oak and ivy can grow up a tree and kill the tree, and pretty soon you got a poison oak or poison ivy tree? Notice a great big little trunk, well, vine it has going up there? It insinuates and creeps around until the tree is gone. And what stands there? The life is gone. You got a bunch of dead stuff palming itself off as the tree. It looks like a tree. These guys crept in. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? In other words, they were spoken of that they would be there, the serpent seed bunch, who would turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Why did the two souls go into lasciviousness? Follow its history. Because they didn't stop and realize Brother Branham talking of the double-minded, spoken words, original seed, he calls them doubles. And they are doubles. They're hypocrites. They come in insinuating themselves, we're part of this message, we believe, and they're no more believers than nothing. Just watch how they go. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice what it says here? Denying. When they do that, they deny the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, and Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle, the one that was down here. Now, there's two gods right there, according to them. They don't even know what they're reading. Your Jesus only can't read, and your Trinitarians can't read. You know why? Because a blind man can't read. Blind men can't read. I wouldn't mind stacking myself against a man that reads Braille any day of the week. I could read, by the time he got one page through, I'd have the book about read. This is no time to let your fingers do the guiding through the yellow pages. And by Braille, this is the time your eyes are open, you're looking. And your mind is receiving. And you're understanding, too. Also, in 2 Timothy, you get the very same picture. Now, what I'm trying to show you here, and I hope you're getting it, is that these make-believers come into the church. There's three kind of believers, the true believer, the make-believer, and the unbeliever. Now, the unbeliever, you don't give a rip about. He's going to walk out because he's got enough brains to go. He's not devious. He's not sadistic. He's not trying to pull anything. He just believes he's 100% right and you're a complete jackass. He gets out. But the make-believer is the guy you got to watch out for because he's in here for one thing, is to do you dirt. Yeah. Oh, boy, the kind old priest. They end up crucifying Christ. Okay, 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, verses 6 to 7. For of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't know. Where do you know? You know in your mind. And by the way, that word know is where you get the word science from. You have a vindicated message. It's a scientific message. I don't care what anybody else says. Those guys out there are liars. Pseudoscientists. They pretend they know. Oh, boy, do they know. That's why you got more people in the Cancer Foundation working for cancer societies than you got people with cancer in America. You think for one minute they're ever going to let you have a cancer cure? You got to be nuts. Any more than Bird of Virginia. It's going to stop rolling the pork barrel of billions of dollars into Virginia. Because you're nothing but a sleazy, scuzzball politician. Let's face it. Now, how many people do you know really believe have got the truth? As I said in number 7 when I delivered the bombshell on Wednesday night, how many people made the ark? You said 8. You were right. You said it. How many are going to make the ark today, the same percentage-wise? Then how many people really got the Holy Ghost? That's the thing right there. Where's your minds? Everybody sings, all that thrills my soul is Jesus, hallelujah. You mention one word of William Branham, prophet of God, vindicated with Paul and with Moses, and give them the truth. They'll go back like the snakes that they are. All that thrills my soul is the Word. I don't know Jesus. I've never met Him. If He walked in this building, He'd be dressed like a common businessman. How would I know? I can tell you how, just the way the prophet said it. If He was here, in the flesh, He'd be doing the same thing that He's doing right now here in the form of the Holy Ghost and the pillar of fire through a prophet. And their souls didn't get thrilled either. In every age, yes, in every generation, God sends the light to shine into the dark and call out His sheep. John 3, 16 to 21 is exactly written as it is. We read this many, many times and explained it. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but but have everlasting life. Remember, Brother Branham said, why do they stop there? Why don't you go on and read the rest? Then he jumped to John 20 to even become more confusing. When he said, why don't they read the rest? He was telling you and me to read the rest. Don't stop at John 3:16. That's not the Bible. That's the shedding of the blood. In order to ratify a covenant, which is a word contract. It binds two people and cannot be broken until the contract's fulfilled. And the Holy Ghost is set as a token or a witness. Hey, it's written in heaven. It's all over. You're in it. You couldn't miss it if you tried. And of course you won't try, because the sheep follow the voice. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now remember, the Gentiles believe in the name at the end time, because that's what they got. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It tells you right there, you can talk about the blood all you want. You can talk about the death of Jesus all you want. You can talk about the resurrection all you want. You can talk about anything you want to talk about. But if you haven't moved from the darkness into light, which comes by way of the mind, you don't have it. Now, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Sure, we're hated for that. Oh, boy. If you think you're hated, stick around and get some of the letters and some of the stuff I get. It's horrible. We'll read where Brother Branham's 2 and 2 make 4. They can't even figure that one out. All right. Let's look at these scriptures now so we understand exactly where we're going. Because we can't afford to be wrong. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and in verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined into our hearts to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to that darkened generation, and he said, I am the light of the world. And the darkness shone right in the midst of, the light shone in the midst of that darkness, and the darkness did, the darkened people couldn't comprehend it, but the elect did. That serpent seed bunch, that Roman bug crucified and killed the Lord Jesus Christ. We go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and in verse 14. But be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? The minute that you know somebody cannot converse on the light level, or the level of light that is in this hour, but wants to dispute it, you don't have any fellowship. You warn and rebuke with all exhortation, but you do not become partakers of it. Yes. All right, in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now it says about these people coming in, that creep in, they're false apostles. They're false missionaries. They got a wrong message. They're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. If I knew where that man was, I could introduce you to a Church of Christ minister that you'd fall in love with. You say, merciful God, Brother Bill, we ain't got nothing alongside of that guy. That love, that gentility, that sweetness, that everything. You just bring him face to face with his word and see what happens, what he believes in. He's no more than a Pentecostal pussycat. Scratch your eyes out the minute you rub his fur the wrong way. Or he'll sweetly, sadly go away and say, oh, you poor person, you are so duped. And he hasn't got one thing to stand on except a dead creed. And he's killed it by denying that Jesus is the only healer. He says Satan can heal. Wouldn't you just love to have a church full of nice, sweet people? I'm going to tell you something. A good undertaker can put a smile on your face when you're dead, which won't wipe off.
Right.
And you'll go right to the green. I don't know about the fellow out, but the fellow inside got out, you might be in very serious trouble. No marvel. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And what is their work? They are missionaries of a false doctrine. Let's go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And in the 8th verse, it tells you, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So I'm going to tell you something. Anytime you use any of those 9 fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians, let's go back and check them out. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there's such no law. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And you don't get that apart from the Word. We've been reading the verses concerning it. So don't try to think you got any conduit for the Holy Ghost outside of the Word. Now pinch your spiritual consciousness, brother, sister. The 13th verse. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. In other words, when God brings His Word to pass, that's it. That's it. And if you're a sheep, you're going to get it. The 14th verse. Wherefore He saith, awake thou the sleepers and arise from the dead. See? And Christ shall give thee light. Leave your darkness. You'll pile word upon word. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And in verse 5, ye are the children of light, and even the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. What does it say over here in 1 John? Five to seven. This then is the message we've heard of Him and declaring to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the Son and the blood of the Son of God, His Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. It tells you the covenant, the blood that was written in. That blood is no good without that light, without that Word. Doesn't do you one bit of good, but you're going to find people aren't going to believe that. Let's go to 1 John 2:8 and 9. And it says, a new commandment I write unto you, which is true. And a new commandment that I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. And he that saith he is in the light, and hates his brother, is in darkness even until now. Now, the same one takes you over to the 3rd chapter and tells you what that is. How can you possibly not love a person, as Brother Branham said, that believes the truth? Here you get all these scriptures lined up, but these guys out here that teach, they're not willing to go to the prophet. They lie when they talk about Him. They're deceitful workers. I'm just telling you the truth up here. You're trying to make merchandise. I'll stand by my record. So we see what happened to the Bride Tree Church. Serpent seed hypocrites, make believers, inundated it. And the true believers evidently sat meekly by as democratic members of the church that had a vote. So, Brother Bell, I don't know about that. Turn her over and we'll go to it. You know about that? The Bible said, choose you out 7 men of good report, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Democratic action. Brother Branham built the church on that. He said, you're a democracy, you failed it. And so these people that came in literally outvoted the elect. They had no more voice. Except where the light should shine in there. age after age, generation after generation, because God always has to send some kind of revival to every single generation to bring all the sheep in. They always get voted down and voted out. They're the ones that get destroyed and maligned and everything else, sure. But you know what? God still sends the light into the darkness and brings them out. Thy lamp is a light unto my feet. A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Always in the darkness. God called and separated his people. This went on. And at the end of time, we are at Revelation 18:4, where it says, come out of her, my people. Come out. Elect. Election. Come out of her, my people, which I can easily translate into part of the shout and church order of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where the Lord descends with a shout, which is a command to put the church in order. And it is simply one eagle scream of one word, Ecclesia! What do you think struck me the time I saw Brother Branham? If you ever listen to anybody, that's the man you listen to. Listen to. Brother Branham said, I don't call you saints, I call you bride. Ecclesia. It is the wake-up call of Ephesians 5 and 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. She's not dead, she's sleeping. And arise, and Christ shall give thee light. And the light is to the elect. And the elect proven by coming to the light. Showing that the blood is in full effect. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost now known to be correct. Because you honor that word and pile word upon word. The covenant positively cannot be broken. That's why there's no way the bride today can get pregnant with a false word. Do you understand the insemination has taken place by the prophet? It is not yet to take place. It has taken place. You talk about a sperm bank. You got the sperm bank. What do you want to do with it? Go to the word that the prophet gave us. He said, everything is there to get you in a rapture. What more do you want? Well, this one's got to come. That one's got to come. Got to hear from this guy. Got to go back to gifts. Got to this. Go ahead, be my guest. Go back anywhere you want. It's your privilege. You got to vote. Well, you ain't voting for me. I can tell you that. I'm in my own vote. The old song said, if my loved ones won't go with me, I won't turn back. That was a joke until this hour.
Yeah.
A lot of those folk hadn't even turned forward. This is also Matthew 25. To the bridal call. Old Amy had the bridal call four square. They were a bunch of squares, all right. Talk about a mess. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold the bridegroom. Who's he calling? Bride! Here's the bridegroom. He's appearing. Come on out. Well, they didn't. Just a few. Now you can see we're actually getting ahead of Brother Branham in his sermon. But what we started last Sunday on page 59 was Brother Branham's Easter message. We'll read it where he says it is. Where he speaks of Christ being God's fruit tree in the Garden of Eden. And then coming to earth as Messiah and bearing God's fruit. And the Roman bug destroyed the tree. After making that statement, Brother Branham then goes back, takes pages 59 and 60 to show that Jesus was Messiah. Though unaccepted. Except by the Ecclesia. He speaks of Peter and Philip as elect, and then straightway talks of the Samaritan woman as also elect, which of course this example will take us to the Gentiles. And thus in this hour God's appearing. So all right, oh my, the little Samaritan woman, page 60, paragraph 4. Now remember, he never went to the Gentiles like that, no sir. He even told his disciples not to go to them. He went to them. He went to her. She was elect. Even the show disciples not going to. That's us. This is our day. He went in the form of the Holy Spirit to us, as he said he would be. But when he went, then what happened? Went to her. When he went to the Samaritan woman, the woman said, he said, bring me a drink. And she said, it's not customary for you, being a Jew, to ask me, a Samaritan. Now here Brother Branham begins to link his own part in the restoration. You notice how he used this woman's illustration? Every single time there was a prayer line, and a woman was the first one in line. He said, you're a stranger to me. There's a little panoramic as we go back, he said, to where Jesus met the Samaritan woman. And he introduces the sign of the prophet, which he said is the last sign the church is going to see. So why are they looking for everything else? You don't believe Brother Branham? No. Well, yeah, be my guest. Fool around if you want to. But you're not going to kid me. I was saved around 18, filled with the Holy Ghost around age 20. I've been preaching a long time. I'm not perfect. I've never lived it. Only one person ever lived it. That's Jesus, but I believe it. My job is not to live the Word and make my own redemption. My job is to believe it. Not to stay back and wonder and cry and doubt. My job is to believe it. And if I'm a believer, I will believe it. And if I'm elect, I'll leave the darkness and I won't go back to it. Israel went back to their darkness. They all died in the wilderness. So, all right, he had segregation by their colors and so forth back there. Let them know right then there was no difference. We all came off the same tree. We're all sons and daughters of God. Of course, that's right. We all are all in one lump. Paul explained it. William Branham explained it. She said, why, we worship as our father Jacob. See, that was the Jew's father too. Our father Jacob dug this well. You say you're greater than he? He said, the water I give you is everlasting life. She said, she countered, well, we worship in this mountain, and you're in Jerusalem. She didn't understand, see what's going on. So he said, go and get your husband. This will set it. I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You've had five already. You got a sixth one now, and that's not your husband either. She said, sir, you know, it's been 400 years since we had a prophet, but you must be a prophet. Now, Brother Branham sets the stage for himself as a prophet, according to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, the reading of the hearts. How did you know I had five husbands? She said, now we know it's time for Messiah to be here, which is called the Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us these kinds of things. All there's his fruit. He said, I am he. Now, that's just, what's he talking about? He's talking about God's fruit. See? Actually, fruit is what truly identifies the tree as to exactly what it is. And we usually talk of fruit. Natural fruit from the beginning. Never killed anybody. Never hurt anybody. Every tree that bore fruit, God said, you can eat it. It won't kill you. But there was a tree in the garden which if you ate the fruit would kill you. So it wasn't a natural thing. It was not a natural tree. It had to be a supernatural tree that had death in it. In other words, could strike right down in your soul and stop that life of God moving to the 1,000 years and then on and on. Could stop it, as Brother Branham said, interrupt it. Separate it from God, which it did. But he said, there's his fruit. He said, I'm he. Actually, God manifesting in and through the man. See? She left the pot, the old water pot of organization. Into the city she went. No matter how much well Jacob had, she found a new spring. Into the city she went and said, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Isn't this the very Messiah? Isn't this the fruit? Isn't this the evidence that is the Messiah? The Jews couldn't understand that. They called him Beelzebub. All right? The first psalm is what Brother Branham was using here. So, we can go back to Psalm number 1, where the real grapefruit tree, the great tree, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Not one man outside of Jesus Christ accomplished that. But his delight's in the law of the Lord, his law that he needs to meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Doesn't just bring forth fruit, he brings it in his season. See? His leaf also shall not wither. Cool, beautiful shade. And what he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, or like the chaff which the wind drives away. Now we're identified here. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, sinners in the congregation of righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now you know right away, when you talk about this man right here, you're talking about a judge. By virtue of the fact of what he is judge. And by virtue of the fact of what we are, what we think, we become judges. And we are warned by Scripture not to dare to become judges. Oh boy, we do it though. Yeah, we do it. No problem. Do it all the time. That's why they turned down the word and crucified every time too. Now the judge stood there. He stood there as he now stands in Matthew 12. Let's go to Matthew 12, which is based upon Matthew 4. This is concerning the tremendous miracles that Jesus did, and the people wanted to get rid of him. He withdrew himself and healed them all. Charged no man should make him known. Verse 17, that might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, who I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He never did. That's something he has to do. He's done it now, but didn't do it back there. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. He did all that back there in the flesh. A bruised reed shall he not break. He did it back there. The smoking reed he shall not, smoking flax not quench. He did it back there. Till he sent forth judgment unto victory. He didn't do it back there. And then it says, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Why? Because he himself is not there as a man. They're going to learn all about him. The Gentiles will learn all about him. They're going to have to learn then in some other way. Now, let's just check this out. I want you to go to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. That's why we're taking a lot of time this morning. And we want to show you what happened back there, what Paul said. Now, verse 14. A lot of reading. When they departed from Persia and came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down, and after reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm he brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. Now after 7 church ages, we're going to get our division, see? And after that, he gave them judges about the space of 450 years till Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up on him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed of God, according to his promise, raised up Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming at the baptism, repentance to all the people of Israel. See, they had to have a complete change of mind, come out of darkness into light. There's no way they could accept Christ. You see? In other words, no matter what Jesus did fulfilling the Scripture properly, they had to have somebody tell them what was going on. Oh, bless God, I don't need anybody to tell me anything. Hallelujah. You know, I get so sick of that stuff. big mouth Pentecostal run off at the mouth step. No humility. Crass ignorance. How many souls they say, bless God. Guess you got your belly full of that, eh, Dennis? Big mouth come by. How many souls you win? We must. Nobody ever won any souls. We said the Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. How do you know you're talking about salvation? You just can't grab everything and run with it. You've got a word. You have a seed to sow. And if it falls in good ground, it'll bring forth. If it doesn't, no problem. Just walk on. These guys sowing all kinds of junk and getting all kinds of converts to it, they don't make me think one thing of them. In fact, I think less because 8 people make the ark. That multiplies down to about 500. Standing right here on earth. Some of these guys got 110,000 by now, I guess. All right. As John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I'm not he, but behold, there come one after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of stock of Abraham, whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophet, which I read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Now that was in the Bible. See, someone's got to do it. And though they found no cause of death in him, and desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, see, on the Roman tree, and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. We declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now notice that's another type of beginning. One from the dead. You got to be getting way back in the beginning when the two stood there. And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he said on another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served all his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. And when it was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. We know that's true. Be it known therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. No matter what you did, you couldn't justify yourself, but you're justified freely. Now watch. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. You that saw it, saw the scripture fulfilled. You wondered and you despised it. You're gone. You're dead. Here's what they're going to do. Despise and wonder and die. Now those despisers are right in the church. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Make it plain and simple. The man tell you all about it. You're not going to believe it. You're not a believer. And when the Jews were gone to the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. And that was a very short sermon. And when the congregation had broken up many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next day, Sabbath day, the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Ah, the fat's in the fire. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. When they saw Brother Branham doing what he did and how the crowds came in, they said, bless God, we can do that too. Yes, hallelujah, help the crowd and William Branham. Yep, we'll do that. Sorrel had a bigger tent and Tommy had a bigger tent. They all had big tents. And Brother Branham said, it's a golden calf scheme. He said, I could have the same thing, bigger than all of them. He said, how could I then go to little churches where little people are? Oh, brother. Got sucked right in, fooled right in. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Contradiction leads you to blasphemy. Well, that can't be the truth. No, it can't be the truth. No. Now listen, the scripture said, behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I, the Lord God, work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe. Even though I take the time to send a prophet that you wanted, that you're supposed to believe in. Now, the funny thing is the Jews believed in prophets, and they got one and didn't want him. And the Gentiles didn't even know they were to believe in prophets, and they got one and did the same thing. What I'm trying to show you here, what happened back in the day of Jesus Christ, when he was here, when God was here manifest in flesh. Now that God is here in a pillar of fire manifesting through a prophet, the same thing has to happen. Contradict and blaspheme. Then Paul and Barnabas wax bold. It's okay, you guys. Let me tell you something. It was necessary the word of God should first be spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Okay, Pentecostals, I come to you. Nobody else wanted me, so I came to you Pentecostals. You turned me down flat. That's fine. You contradicted, now you blaspheme. Anybody, anywhere, come on out. If I took a show of hands in this church today and asked how many people really came out of Pentecost, you'd be surprised. Not too many did. Not too many did. Why? Because you're chaff. The life has gone on. They're dead. They're a sign of what was once there. The same thing that Weston knew. He said, I'm not afraid Methodism will cease from the face of the earth. I'm just afraid the dove, the Holy Spirit, will have fled. And they will not even have known it. All they'll see behind is the dove dung. And the old nest. And the wind rattling in the nest. The Jews couldn't understand it. He's a fortune teller. He's Beelzebub. They judged the judge, and judgment came on their failure to discern. Jesus said, I forgive you, but sometime the Holy Ghost is coming to do the same thing. And you speak against that, it'll never be forgiven you. Now, the Pentecostals and the fundamentalists, and mostly Pentecostals, let's get this flat. They say, which is true, to attribute to Satan the works of the Holy Ghost is to blaspheme. Now, they put it through seven church ages, which also is true. But they fail to realize the complexity of Scripture, wherein there can be not only compound meaning, but multiple meanings. And it's in this hour that it repeats that they call the same God that they're supposed to worship, they call him the devil, Beelzebub, and they die in their sins. How is there going to be universal death? The spirit of the Muslim spoke up against Salman Rushdie when he wrote Satanic Verses, which was a little parody against some of the tripe that the Muslims pull off. And they're supposed to be so peace-loving and wonderful, they're a religion of the sword. Come on, let's face it. They're diabolical. Their Allah is not God. That's the name of their devil. They just said that's God's name. That's a lie. Allah is not God's name. It's El. Elohim, El Allah, or Jehovah with its complexes. You can't find El in the Bible. But everybody goes along like a lamb to the slaughter. Now what I'm saying is this. If those guys are trying to give $1 million to destroy Salman Rushdie, and they're all a bunch of phony balonies. In other words, there are two bits on a counter of $50 bills. What's going to happen when the Pope takes over for the universal night? You think the foolish virgin won't be hunted down like dogs, they'll die and everything else? You got to be kidding. Brother Bannon said places like this are going to be shut up. He said, I'll forgive you, but I'll never be forgiven you. Why? There'll be no time to repent. Because Hebrews 6 is the last repentance. It started back there in the fourth church age. I gave her time to repent. She wouldn't do it. See? never forgiven you. Now, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. Now, Brother Branham's going right back to his own ministry, the same as he went to Jesus 2,000 years ago. But that fruit tree was bearing the fruit. What was it doing? It was bearing the Word of God, absolute in the manifestation. Now, watch. What did he say? What kind of a church he set up? Now, you Catholics that want to say that Jesus set up a church, what kind of church did he set up? Did he ever mention denomination or creed? He was always against it. He said, you whited walls, you dead men bones. All right? The life of the bride tree went down to the roots. But remember that Jesus came from the root of David. In other words, there was a promise that God himself made to David concerning Judah. And that man, Jesus Christ, was a literal fulfillment and became the absolute temple of God, where John the Baptist actually ran ahead of the Lord God of Israel, who had incarnated himself in that only begotten Son. The fruit was there. William Branham, listen to what he says. He said Jesus called them everything he could call them. That's right. He was against it. That was the fruit of God, to call them everything, to lay it on the line. Now you can make two and two make four if you want to. All right. In other words, he's saying, I'm giving you the chance to realize I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about God manifest in this hour, not in the flesh of Jesus Christ, but another prophet. And the same, even greater works are being done. He's testifying to himself. And God bears him witness. He's right. God was against organization, the thing organization, against their theories, called them hypocrites, snake in the grass. Said they were devils. Brother Branham called a bunch of Canadians mossbacks. And he said, God told me to call you that. He said, you are of your father the devil, and his works you'll do. Which one of your fathers didn't persecute the prophets I sent before me? See? Then you built their tombs. You're the one that put them in there. Look at 1 John 3. It's been pretending to be an awful thick Bible, seems like. John 3, 4 to 8. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might bring to nothing the works of the devil. Now, what were the works of the devil that started back in the beginning? Falling from the true worship of God to desiring his own worship, his own plan, his own kingdom. To absolutely become Antichrist, which means instead of, to take over. And this is what we are looking at, and people have a hard time seeing it. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and verses 6 to 11, let no man deceive you with vain words. Words that don't hold water, they can't come to pass. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. In other words, they set aside the absolute, irrevocable, sure, 100% going to come to pass word of God for some junk that somebody brings in. Well, I've heard this. I've seen that. We got a picture. Oh, yeah, he told me himself. Oh, yeah, she was there when it happened. You ought to hear the stories I hear. What's supposed to happen? Oh, brother. Go to the people that stood by the bedside. You talk about diabolical lies. When the people are faced with the real truth, what really happened when that woman died of cancer? Did she see Brother Branham? Did he talk to her? No, she was in a coma. She died without a word. Said about Brother Branham, it wasn't a bone in his body broken. There were several bones, lots of bones broken.
Then he said, suddenly, just like somebody touched me, all the bones came together. That's a lie. It didn't happen. God. Well, I got a picture of a man. Yeah, he sent it to me. It's a duff of fire, he called it. Some little light on a Polaroid camera. Now, he's a great apostle. Fooling people left and right. You ain't going to fool me, kid. I'm not interested. You ain't got nothing. When I was back there, an old dead Pentecost had a ministry that he'll never touch. And a few people live, because I'm very honest concerning everything I say, concerning what happened under my ministry, and I never tell you hardly anything. No man to see the vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Not disobedient children, children disobedience. Eve was disobedient, so she had a child of disobedience. But Eve herself was not a child of disobedience. But she had a child of disobedience. And the bride's full of that kind of junk. You know why? Because they come in, call themselves children of God. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Watch it, watch it, watch it. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then that you're light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. He's talking about a walk. What's he talking about previous? The Word. Outside the Word, no walk. Only inside the Word. Which goes to the principle. Passive faith and active faith. Proving what is the acceptable word, acceptable unto God. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You can't join up and be with these guys that are off the word, yet everybody wants me to be a part of it. You keep writing letters in Germany, every place else. Brother Dale, what's the matter with you guys? Well, what's the matter with you guys? I've been to their meetings. All they want to do is fight. Brother Man didn't say that. He's come together. He said, what you do, you discuss your problems, you pray for each other. If you've got time, you can discuss the word. The first thing they want to do is fight each other. So I just stay away from it. So then they all fight me, which is fine by me. If I didn't have a lot of detractors, I know something is funny because, first of all, I deserve it for what the things I say and do. And number two, it's coming to me if I'm preaching the truth. Let's face it. Let's be honest. He was against those things. He said, you're the devil. Your father, and his works you'll do, which I said is into a false worship. It goes right to the beginning. Said, you build their tombs. You're the one that put them there. Oh, brother, he didn't pull any punches with them. That's right. That was the fruit of God. Paul didn't pull any punches. What was it? Stay with the word of God. Make the word of God manifest. He said, otherwise, what did the scripture say I, the Messiah, would do when I come? Now, if I don't bear that fruit of that word, then I'm not Messiah. Well, what in the world's Messiah all about? A prophet like unto Moses, where God speaks face to face with the man and in the man and proves who he is by vindication. What more do you want? Years ago in the Keaton Company in Canada, they moved into Western Canada, British Columbia. So I went to buy stuff there. And I found they had me all messed up. So they began writing me for money. I said, I paid the bill. Here's my records. They paid no attention. They took the collection agent. The man's name was Peterson. He came by, Mr. Vail. I said, yeah, my name's Peterson. I'm collection agent. Sit down. I said, what do you want? What do you want money for? Well, he said, you owe cheating company. I said, I owe the money. Bring the bill. I brought my cancel checks. He was horrified. He said, Mr. Vail, I'm sorry. You'll never hear from us again. He was angry. So they kept bugging me. I went down one day and I said, hey, I've wasted my days off coming to see you guys. Now, what makes you think you can charge me and ask for more money when I paid the bill? Well, you see, we've had an accounting system. I said, just hold it. I've been for Woodward's for years. They never make any mistakes. I said, I'll tell you what's wrong with you guys. You think because you're a big company and you give credit and you got a name, you can dun anybody and think they'll pay. I said, I got news for you. You're going to hear from my lawyer and I'm going to sue you. For all the time I wasted. Oh, they threw their hands up right now. See, I got tough. You got to be tough. You don't let the world run over because you're a Christian. back down for everybody's line. Everybody's crud and think you're sweet and nice. There's something wrong with you. So they finally recognized my receipts. But you know something? They didn't get my business. That's the end of it. Forget it. That's the funny thing about Christians. Why should we do business with the devil when he's such a lousy cur? We just do business with God. What did the scripture say? Messiah, what would you when he come? Exactly what Moses said. Be vindicated. But if I bear fruit of that word, Matthew 12, he's talking about himself now, that the Messiah was supposed to do, then I am he. Amen, said Brother Branham. Now, which of you can condemn me of sin? Off the word. Unbelief. Now, you can't have a vacuum. If you don't believe the word, you'll get a word you will believe. You don't think? Come on. He said, there you are. Which one of your organizations do what I can do? There you are. The Messiah was supposed to do this. Messiah is supposed to be a prophet. Now let's see some of you all. Now come on. You challenge me, you produce. He said, with all your highfalutin ideas, let's see you do it. They were silent. All right. See? Brother Branham's own ministry. He challenged all those Muslims and everybody over in India, the same as he challenged here. They went down to defeat. But you think it changed anybody? No. It's like the old saying, he that's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. See? What was it? He bore the fruit of God. That word bore, B-O-R-E, comes from the word bear, B-E-A-R. He bore the fruit of God. I mean, he carried it. He carried it. It also means strong. In continuation, in the right direction. You couldn't get him off of it. He met every challenge, every single day. Until it came to the time when his mouth was closed by God. He said, it's over. He didn't defend himself. There was no way he could defend himself. His defense had been rejected. He was pre-tried. Come on, face it. What chance did a black man have in Mississippi for years? None. You talk about segregation. God was his own prophet back there in the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore the fruit of God. He carried it. In other words, Jesus did not initiate or produce the fruit. He simply bore it. It was God's fruit. It was God in him. And it's still God in us, willing and doing of his own good pleasure. What was it? Now listen, I'll close. Hurry as quickly as I can. I won't delay you from your Easter dinner. Look. Your Easter dinner should be the resurrection. I knew we'd take time today, but that's all right. I did it on purpose. You can never get too much scripture. Anybody accuse me of preaching without scripture, you got the lie right here. Give them this tape. One guy from India said that you people in America, you needed to get back to the Bible. We in India never did. He preached a sermon. He used two scripture. I would take the same sermon and use at least 200. Not boasting, not bragging. Just telling the truth. Either get with it or get off it. You know? If you're going to open up a great big department store, don't have a little 7-Eleven sign out there, 30 by 30, and call yourself a great big department store like Lazarus or Myers. You're just a convenience store. 7-Eleven for a poor bunch of folk that didn't have time or something finally came by to see you. That's organization, brother, sister. They ain't got nothing to give us. Let's rise and be this. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your mercy and goodness. And we ask you, Lord, to help us today that we might surely know the word and not be tempted to go aside from it, which is what so many people do, but to stay with it, Lord, not to rationalize, but just simply believe it. go back to Scripture and see where it is and stay with the prophet, which we certainly have tried to do. We pray, therefore, Lord, that your word will bear fruit in every single person here today, giving each one of us a steadfastness which we've never had before, a communication with each other around and with this word as we never had before. And above all, therefore, Lord, a communion with you to such a degree of beauty and intensity as we've never had before. Walking in the light, beautiful light, coming where the dewdrops of mercy and glory are bright, shining all around us, evermore, day and by night. Jesus, you are the light of the world. You are that one that came here, became the flesh of Almighty God, and we saw him, they did, and now we see him again in manifestation the way you've ordained it. And we do conclude and see positively that God himself did come down, as the prophet said, and God did do according to his word. And we believe that now, Lord, you have to be doing according to your word, because it's going to come to pass, and it's going to come to pass in somebody. And Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we're not going to stand in her way. But, Lord, by the grace of God, we believe we haven't come this far not to be bride. So unto thee we give glory, Lord. And we know we have permission to count ourselves thus, Lord. And we know we've actually been told to count ourselves thus. And stay that way. So we bless your name this morning, Lord, and ask you to heal the sick amongst us. Help those who need help in any way, shape, or form. And those, Lord, that need to be instructed in paths of righteousness, in some certain paths of faith, Lord, they're not right in. And even more so in some act of faith they're not engaged in. Lord, let your people rise to the occasion. Because, Lord, you are God, and you are our God, and we are your people, and we are identified, as the prophet said, it has come to pass, you and us and we and you. What a blessed day that is. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take